Hello, Texans. Welcome to the program. Another one coming to you from Orlando, the NFL annual meeting. And we have a lot to get to today. Man, oh, man, we've got the Hall of Fame game to talk about. We have the kickoff rule to talk about. We have NFL weirdness in scheduling. Now, this doesn't necessarily involve the Texans, but the NFL will play on Wednesday, Christmas Day. How about that? Wednesday, Christmas Day. They'll do it because they'll funnel in teams playing the Saturday before, so they have a normal, sort of normal, Sunday-Thursday type of week. It'll be Saturday-Wednesday instead, and then you get a longer mini-bye after that, so that's kind of cool. Hard Knocks is going to have a full division instead of one team when they do the in-season variety, so that'll be cool. But the Hall of Fame game, you have an earlier start to camp, earlier departure from mini-camp, and the Texans are in it. And we'll talk about the Hall of Fame game more with Jeff Joniak in segment two because he's the voice of the Bears. Texans are playing the Bears. Jeff has been to the Hall of Fame a ton because the Bears put in a Hall of Famer every week or something. I don't know. But we'll talk to him about that. But let's not waste any more time. Let's get to our visit with Chairman, CEO, and now principal owner of the Houston Texans, Cal McNair, and Vice President of the Houston Texans Foundation, Hannah McNair. Visiting with the McNairs, okay, how has it been so far, these NFL meetings? Cal, Hannah, welcome. Great to have you with us. How do you enjoy being here?
We enjoy it. We enjoy being around the other owners and having some, a lot of great dialogue about the game of football and just with some really bright minds. And we're in a really great spot, you know, and it's fun to be around these guys.
Are you feeling the love, the celebration of the season that was? I know we're well into 2024 now, but how much positive feedback are you getting on the season the Texans had?
I mean, the other owners are kind of saying, we kind of liked you a little lower down in the rankings and not really happy about you coming up. But, no, it's a good group, and we're happy for each other to have some success, yeah.
Tell me, Cal, the vote that took place during these meetings, you are now the principal owner of the Houston Texans. How important is that? What's the significance of it, really?
Well, I've been doing a lot of the work and then working with Mom as a principal owner, and now she'll still be there. She's still the co-founder, still the senior chair, all those things. But the principal owner title does slide to me, which, you know, I'm excited about, look forward to. I was humbled by the vote in there. It's a real blessing, you know, for our family to be able to keep the team in the family and
in Houston.
And in Houston. And, you know, just so all those things is just really, really wonderful. So it was great.
A lot of positive comments. Jerry Jones, among the owners, quoted about you and your abilities. That had to feel good as well.
Yeah, and actually we saw him last night and thanked him for those, and he said he's just such a big fan of Dad's. Mm-hmm. and even after all these years,
he's one of the best owners to ever come out of the league, is what he said about your dad.
Yeah, he very complimentary, and Dad felt the same way about him, Mr. Jones, and so do I. And so we're really proud to have them as friends up to the north. And even though, you know, we'll try to beat him on the field, we're friends off the field, so it's terrific.
It was really awesome because he then directed his comments to the boys. The three boys were standing there, Robert, Calhoun, Michael, and he said, you know, your grandfather was one of the most amazing people I've ever met. And the boys were just saying, thank you so much. And when our oldest, Robert, he's 13, when I told him that Cal was going to be voted in, he said, his first comment to me was, is this what Grammy wants? And I just think that's so incredible, and that speaks to the volume of the closeness of our family and how much they respect their grandmother and what she did and how much their dad respects his mom and what she did. So just continuing to make this a family affair, and hopefully that lives for generations.
Yeah, Mom's done such a great job stepping in when Dad left us, and mm-hmm. And both of them set the foundation of where we want to go and in most respects how we want to do it. And we're doing a little tweaks, but the foundation is there laid by them, and we totally respect that and just appreciate all they've done. And Mom will continue to do so.
Which is rare that a principal owner gets passed down without the owner graduating. Mm-hmm. And so that is also fun, is that it's more of a celebration instead of grieving a loss. So we're celebrating this, but it's also wonderful for Cal because he can still lean on his mom as someone to go to who's been in his shoes. So I think that's great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And Cal, you were coming to these meetings forever with Bob McNair. How much did that help you get ready as the transition took place?
Yeah, terrific. Yeah, no, he tried to prepare me as best he could. I know it was a challenge, but no, it's been a
You're
delight.
You're a good listener, babe. You really are.
What? It's been a, you know, that was just so much fun to sit in the meetings with him and the respect that he built over time and mm-hmm. and the service that he did and felt he wanted to do for the league. And he always put the league first. And even above there, sometimes I'm going, Dad, this isn't really good for the Texans. And he goes, Cal, this is good for the league, and we need to do it for the league. And so he always had that perspective because there's strength in us bonding together and working together as a league and putting our self-interest on the back burner, which is a lot of ways some of the things you learn in football. So he took those and really applied them, and I think he did just a terrific job.
Team first.
Yep, team first.
All right, in no particular order, we found out that the Hall of Fame game will occur with the Houston Texans participating. First time since the very first game the Texans ever played.
Very first game, yeah. Yes. That was awesome. Yeah,
I
we haven't been invited
back. Both of y'all were there, right?
Yeah, and it's the only game, here's a good trivia note, the only game that John Madden ever did involving the Houston Texans was the Hall of Fame game. So when he died, I mentioned that because that was the only Texans game Madden actually broadcast. But it's a thrill to go back, right?
First time invited back, so it's a real honor to go back there. And, of course, going back in with Andre going into the Hall of Fame, just like having our cake and eating it, too, is going to be a lot of fun.
It will be. I would imagine some celebration around there and hanging out for the Andre Johnson induction ceremony. What a special weekend that's going to be. I know there's probably a lot of planning to do around that so far, but what could you share with us?
We have started planning. Hannah can walk you through that a little more than I can. But there's been a, you know, pre-trip and another one, and they're getting things lined up. And should be, it's not just a weekend. It'll start earlier in the week. And
yeah, I think they start getting there on the Tuesday. The Hall of Fame game is on Thursday. So Andre will be there doing a lot of appearances and different activities. And we'll be right there to celebrate with him. We're excited. We're going to bring the kids in. It really is exciting. It's a moment for the whole organization, but the whole city as well, having our first Hall of Famer go in, and not just any Hall of Famer, it's Andre Johnson. I mean, he's the definition of the type of player that you want representing your organization. So we couldn't be more excited. And when Andre went to go visit a couple weeks ago, he came back and brought us some hats. So that was really special for Kel's mom. We gave her one, and it's just a really special moment for everyone. And we're just, we've always been big fans of Andre.
So we might, spoiler alert, get some bobbleheads. So we're looking into bobbleheads. So
you cannot. Really okay, now we have to do that because you just spoiler alerted
said
it. That
might.
Was on the
I
list.
I said might.
That was on the list of options. So we don't know yet if that's the right direction. We'll be working closely with Andre to make sure that we do the best we can in representing his Hall of Fame experience and his induction. How he would like to see it done. So
can't wait for that. Yeah. And you get to open training camp early because of this game, right?
I don't know if that's exciting. It's a little hot. I mean, I know it's always hot in Houston, but, in football, you don't get so many weeks off. And that beginning of July is when all of us take off. And now we all get to see each other even earlier. Aren't you excited?
Well, they'll adjust probably OTAs back a week so the players have that same length of time, the 40 days they like to have in between.
I was talking about us, babe.
At camp in 100
degrees. I'm talking about there's like certain times I get to have a vacation with the family. We like to see Cal's mom for a while and then my family for a while, and then we're back to football. So that's a special time of year, but – now we get to go celebrate the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I look at the positives. More Cal's cookout opportunities, possibilities anyway.
Yes, 120-degree weather, babe. Aren't you excited?
Let's go. Let's fire up the grills.
I'll ask you grill questions later. All right, I want to hear about the Reddit post you made because when we all saw that picture.
Which one? The AMAs?
No, the recent one with the uniform leak, Hannah. I know you're just playing.
On my Reddit account.
Yeah. with the Reddit post, that was great because we saw this picture that was leaked, and it wasn't really a planned picture, obviously, but you put out a great photo of Tank and Nico in the whites with the dark bottoms. Can you speak to that a little bit? It really hit it big with the viewers, the social media consumers.
Well, you're nice. Yeah, the leak happened. We were a little bit surprised, but, you know, those things do happen. So we got together really quick and came up with a plan to address it straight on, you know, with our fans and let them know that, hey, these uniforms look great on our players. Mm-hmm. And our players are excited to put them on.
On our players.
On our players.
Right.
And put out a really good photo, I thought, showing that and letting pulling the curtain back a little bit on the uniforms and what they're going to look like. And but it's a whole closet. It's the whites, but there's
I think
adjustments
it's a
to all of them.
Delicate so balance here. So we've been trying to be really inclusive with our fans in this whole process and the media, and really trying to make it about the fans and about the city and about the players, and not just you know, something so secretive that you just all of a sudden drop on everyone. We wanted everyone to feel a part of it and to feel special in this. So when we did have the media members and employees, we wanted them to feel special, that we are grateful for their participation in this whole process. And when you have something like that happen, I mean, there is always a chance, but we would hope that it'd be a better photo, but you know, it is what it is. At least cover your whole legs with the socks. I mean, that wasn't even uniform code. So, but it's been a fun process. I think, you know, it's our first time to go through it, really, since inception, since the first one. And, you know, I'll be sure to make sure we don't let John Lopez view it next time if we ever have a viewing, because he does not want to know beforehand. I do know that. I do know that he does not want to see the uniforms beforehand, and he would rather just see it when everyone else does. We will respect that. If anybody else feels that way, we'll, you know, let us know. We'll make sure we do that for you.
Well, it is
we love them all, so we want to do what they would like us to do. And I think I'll let Omar handle that.
But it was a conscious decision.
It was a conscious decision.
To open it up to some of the media, some of our really good friends and media that we knew would
really enjoy
seeing it early. And but that's kind of a new way for us. And but we're excited to do it, and we'll try to keep doing it with most of the media members.
Well, you know, we're at the owners' meetings, and somebody goes, hey, what is it like? You know, you're getting voted in as the, you know, Cal's getting voted in as the controlling owner. I said, somebody always owns somebody else. I mean, it's a full circle. The fans own us. It's a full, everybody is working for somebody. And so it's just a matter of, you know, what the title is, but it doesn't really matter, because part of this whole thing is everybody is in it together, and we feel that way with the community. So,
well, Hannah, last year during this interview, you said, I want to thank the fans for sticking with us.
Yes.
And they stuck with the Texans, and what a reward we all had with the 2023 campaign.
That was fun. That was a fun year.
Looking back on it
from where we started, going through the whole evolution of the season was really fun.
I don't think I could have crowd surfed at the beginning of the season, because I don't know if we had that many in there, but I do know at the end of the season I did want to go crowd surf after that second pick six.
I
just wanted to jump over and enjoy it with the whole crowd, because they deserve it. The players deserve that. Everybody, it was just such a moment for the organization.
If you promise a crowd surf, I think that everybody will respond accordingly very well with that. No question about that.
I don't know. It depends on the day. I might get dropped.
I, however, will not do a crowd surf.
That is confirmed.
I exceed the weight limit.
That is confirmed. But one thing I
feel
love,
like Omar is about to be like, can we cut this whole segment just now? I'm marking this minute now.
We're going with this. But one thing I think the fans love, you mentioned being inclusive and including the fans, media. Throughout the entire process of the uniforms, it's been fan council and focus group after focus group and a lot of involvement. You got a lot of input from everybody for the uniforms, but I feel like everybody feels they're participating in the success of the Houston Texans at large.
So I think one of the best things Cal has done is surround himself with people who are very knowledgeable in all of these areas that help us be a you know, a good organization, great organization. So, you know, Doug Vosick has been with us a couple of years. He's phenomenal. You know, we have a great PR and marketing department that's really just elevated this area for us. And I think that that's a really testament to Cal and knowing what his strengths are and what they're not and surrounding himself with the right people.
Outstanding. One more for you. Here we are, draft not too far away, but free agency, the early returns look really good. I know free agency never really ends, but those first couple of waves, Cal, outstanding for this team. What do you both think of what you've done so far?
Well, I really like how Nick and Coach are working together. Coach put out his vision of how he wants the team to look, and Nick is putting it into effect, and it's really exciting to see how he's doing that and working together again, and that collaboration is really what we're seeing, and that's what we want to see.
Can't wait for football.
And my daughter is really excited about Hunter, since her name is Hunter.
Yes. Yes, very
She's
good.
She's very Mommy, they said Hunter, and it's Texans.
Yeah, and he's from Katy, and so having all these things, and he wants to be here, and so we want him to be here, and that'll be quite an edge rush we're going to put on some folks, as well as some depth there on the defensive line in the linebacker group. Is really going to be fun to see. D'Amico wants that front seven really strong, and I think you've seen Nick focus on that.
Well, we can't wait for the draft, uniform unveil, all of it. Thanks so much for visiting with us today.
Thank you. Go Cheers. Texans.
Go Texans.
There's our visit with Cal and Hannah McNair. Now, if you missed any of it, this will be up on podcast soon enough so you can catch it there. Coming up, more on the Hall of Fame game, voice of the Chicago Bears, Jeff Joniak, joins us. It's August 1st in Canton, and we'll talk about the game. He's been there a ton. We'll talk about the kickoff rule and some of the other things going on here at the NFL annual meeting as we continue. It's Texans Radio. Right back to it here in Orlando at the NFL annual meeting with a ton to do. I promised Jeff Joniak, voice of the Bears, about the Hall of Fame game. We're going to bump that to segment three. We're going to get to Jim Miller right now, SiriusXM NFL Radio, former Bears quarterback and former Michigan State quarterback, but you know him from SiriusXM, co-host of their flagship show. Jim and I visited about the kickoff rule, about some other stuff involving the Texans. Listen in. Jim, what do you get out of this, the NFL meetings as opposed to the combine? Which do you like better? Which is good for you?
Well, they're both exciting because obviously here at the owners' meetings, depending on the proposals, they can impact the game.
Yeah.
You know, the rules and how they're passed. And obviously for me coming down here, it was about the kickoff return rule. I want the kickoff return back in the game. Basically, they're eliminating the 40-yard sprint. Right, because they you know, going to have the two teams basically 5 yards apart. So you eliminate that 40-yard dash, which is what they deem to be, you know, for safety reasons. And now it's just going to be a hand-to-hand combat. And so I think you'll see kind of bigger guys, how it used to be on kick returns. Believe it or not, D linemen used to run down on kickoffs. So I think it'll be more of a hand-to-hand combat where you'll see some bigger guys on the return team.
Jim Miller joining us, SiriusXM NFL Radio, and former NFL quarterback. Jim, what about safety in general in the game, the way it's evolved over the years? Clearly the game is more popular than ever. What is your thought on how they've handled all this?
Well, I don't like it because they always – you know, like say the kickoff return, right? They deemed it, you know, an unsafe play. There's always going to be the next unsafe play. Is it a punt return for the gunners that are going down? You know, technically you could say that's an unsafe play, or blitzing and things of that nature. So there's always going to be the next unsafe play. And I think part of the reason why they want to bring the kickoff return back, I think they've realized it's kind of gone overboard here a little bit. And so them wanting and are motivated to get the kick return back in the game, you know, because it's so inconsequential right now. What were there, 13 no returns in the Super Bowl? I mean, it looked bad. It's a bad look.
Jim Miller with us, SiriusXM NFL Radio, and former Bear. The Bears are coming to Houston this year. So how's the offseason going so far? Obviously, the draft is going to be huge.
Well, yeah, for the Bears, I think we know they've cleared the deck. No more Justin Fields, so he's moved on to Pittsburgh. They want to draft a young quarterback. He's going to get all the reps. They've kind of insulated who they're ever going to draft at number one with veteran players. That's why you make the trade for Keenan Allen coming over from the Chargers. You did it last year with DJ Moore on the outside. They're better up front on the offensive line with Darnell Wright. They may draft a tackle, I would still think, for the Chicago Bears, but they want to really insulate the young quarterback. As for the Texans, Nick Caseros crushed it here this offseason. I mean, he really has done a nice job where really Houston can just take the quote-unquote best available player with the guys that you guys signed. Granted, you've kind of flipped out the pass rushers with Danielle Hunter, but Danielle, for people don't realize, that guy's still under 30 and has been a very productive player for a long time.
You mentioned Fields going to Pittsburgh. How do you think that plays out there with the two quarterbacks?
I think, well, if you just look at the history of Russell Wilson, he's only missed one practice his whole NFL career. Oof. So he does not get hurt and has been pretty durable from that standpoint. And I think for Justin, it'll give him a year to learn under Russell, a new system where, you know, and he's got some areas he needs to work on. You know, here I cover the Bears every week. I've seen every snap that guy's ever had. I call their preseason games, so I saw all his preseason work. I've seen him in practice. And, you know, it's just he's not a polished product right now. He's better than what he was, and I think everybody realizes he can make jaw-dropping plays, but at the same time, he's got to clean up a lot of things. He gets sacked way too much. The turnovers, meaning the fumbles, have been too much as well, where he just needs more polish, and it'll probably be good for him to try and get more polish under Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh.
Jim Miller with us, SiriusXM NFL Radio. We were mentioning the depth with the Texans and all teams. Yeah. It's so important, more important than ever, right, with the 17-game schedule. I feel like every year, guys in that second and third level often play.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now, more and more, you see more contributors through the draft. I mean, look at, say, a team like the Rams. They had two really good rookies that were huge contributors. You know, Puka Nacua and you'd say Turner, Kobe Turner on the defensive line. So, and I think for the Bears, that was the same thing. The last 2 years, all of their draft picks have played a significant time. Actually, last year, the Bears had more rookies that logged snaps than any team in the NFL. So it depends on, you know, obviously, everybody knows the Bears have been trying to rebuild their roster, and it's about getting younger and playing those young, talented players. And they've done a really nice job drafting players who they targeted.
You played at Michigan State. College athletics, the way it is right now, Jim, with the NIL and transfer portal craziness. And I think it might have an effect on the NFL, does it? And what do you think in general of the college situation and what can be done?
Well, I think you saw it this year at the Combine. It has affected the NFL level because, you know, here football is a team sport. And now, you know, when you're going to a job interview at the Combine and then some players elect not to even give a physical or are not participating in the drills that are down there. Even Mickey Loomis talked today. He goes, we need to get the data so that we know and we have confidence in what this data leads us to believe that a player can do at the next level. And it's odd that some of these kids, I don't want to call them kids, young men, go to the Combine and elect not to participate. That's considered a fast track in Indianapolis.
Right.
Why would you wait? Mm-hmm. And even Jim Nagy tweeted out, he's like, I don't get where some of these kids are getting the ideas that their agents or handlers, so to speak, are telling them not to work out when it's only going to benefit them at Indianapolis. They're going to go back to their college for their pro day and run on a slower track. It makes no sense. So I think that NIL has individualized it more, where, you know, it's more about me rather than the team. Football is a team sport, and I think you kind of saw that and why, you know, things were a little bit different and unsettled at the Combine this year.
One more for you, Jim. We're going to get a game in Brazil. 2025 is going to be crazy. You got Madrid, among other things. Yeah. So are we going to get a team or teams in Europe at some point in this league?
Well, according to Roger Goodell, I still think it's about a decade away, but he seems to be, you know, he brings it up more and more that he would like a four-team division over there. And so teams here on the mainland would basically fly over there, take a two-week stint, play one team one weekend, then the next weekend they play, say, Frankfurt or whoever, where they station the teams. But it's probably about a decade away. But, yeah, I do think that's going to happen.
Jim, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, thank you.
There's Jim Miller from SiriusXM Satellite NFL Radio. Now, my buddy Mike Reese, ESPN, covers the Patriots and the NFL, and I love visiting with Mike because we have a history. Mike, it's such a pleasure to catch up. How have you been?
Been great. Always great to be with you. It brings back such great memories. You have to tell everyone our connection.
Yeah, from UMass, and I was very young. No, I wasn't that young, but you were very young. You were a student doing UMass women's basketball on the station of which I was sports director and eventually station manager.
Yeah.
You did a hell of a job as a play-by-play man. Do you still do any play-by-play?
I don't, but I still remember rock and roll because you were like someone we looked up to. It was so fun, Mark. It's so great, and I love that as you moved on, we stayed connected through the football.
Yep, through the NFL. But I mean that about your play-by-play skills. You definitely have great play-by-play chops. Our buddy Mike Corey is on ESPN,
amazing,
which is nice.
Yes.
So, and I think we're the only one. I don't know. Are there some others who are still in the industry from your generation at UMass who are students?
They are, but I think Mike's the highest profile. And like, I love when we'll turn on the TV on a Friday night, and it's like an Atlantic 10 game, which was our conference, at UMass, and he'll be on there, and it just brings back great memories.
That's great. It's great to see him. Mike Reese with us. Covers the New England Patriots like nobody else can. And how interesting, odd, intriguing is this era, Mike, as you say goodbye to Bill Belichick and it's completely brand new? What's that like for you?
Well, incredible change. And I guess I would sum it up knowing the audience that might be listening to this. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'd love to do what the Texans did last year, right? Mm-hmm. With the new coach, the new quarterback, and the new hope. And I think that's how I would sum it up.
Yeah. Gerard Mayo, he's been in the news and rumor mills for various coaching jobs. The Texans early on when they were looking past the Bill O'Brien era, but obviously that didn't materialize. What are you getting from him so far?
So really wants to be open and transparent. So like two things. The first thing, he invites all the local media to a happy hour off the record. Mm. Come meet me. Come meet my coaches. We want to open this thing up because we want to have a great relationship with our local media, which, you know, I loved covering Bill Belichick because I loved the Super Bowls and the winning.
Yeah.
With that came, there were no happy hours, if you know what I mean, Mark.
There were unhappy hours.
And we would be at an event at the owners meeting or the NFL annual meeting, whatever you call it, and he would be like nails on the chalkboard to talk to him, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think we're seeing a change in approach and demeanor.
Right.
And so that's the first thing. And the second thing is, like, when Belichick would come into the media workroom, he'd stand behind a podium. Gerard wants to come and sit on a chair with a table in front of him because he wants the feeling that he's speaking with us, among us, not at us. And so just let's give you two examples of just some of the change over the last couple months.
Interesting. Mike Reese joining us from ESPN, covers the Patriots. Elliot Wolf, what about him?
So Elliot Wolf's a director of scouting, but really he's the general manager right now.
Why doesn't
he have
the title?
I think he'll ultimately get the title, Mark.
Okay.
I think it's maybe the type of thing where if they gave it to him, they have to go through a process that adheres to Rooney Rule, and it's possible that they'll still do that. But I think he's the general manager. I honestly don't know. That might be a good question for the owner, Robert Kraft, that I need to ask him while we're here. So I would say I think he's the GM without the title, and he'll ultimately get the title. Although I will say, Mark, they've never named a GM. They've had vice president of player personnel because they've never really turned the whole – like that's 31 years of ownership, so they've never actually believed in that model. They'll probably name him vice president of player personnel.
Mike, when Nick Caserio was still with the Patriots, did you have a chance to talk to him at all? Was he around? Was he accessible?
I did. So he was accessible, friendly, kind, but the Patriots under Bill Belichick always wanted Bill to be the singular voice.
Right.
So when we heard from Nick, it was maybe leading up to the draft, you know, where he would talk specifically about players that maybe Bill Belichick himself was still catching up on, you know, from transitioning from the coach to the personnel side. But otherwise, not that much. And I think from afar, what I've seen is maybe Nick's personality has come out a little bit in Houston.
Oh, sure.
And I love to see that because I think my experience with him, Mark, kind, decent man with good ethics and, you know, morals and, like, but just was so intent on focusing on his role in New England, and that was to be, in many ways, subservient to Bill Belichick because that's what his boss wanted.
Mike Reese joining us from ESPN. So You started with Patriots Media. A lot of people do the opposite. They're in outside media. They join team media. Maybe not a lot, but some have done it. You did the opposite. Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if we talked about this on the air ever, but in the 90s, you had the first digital show of any team.
That's right.
Like a 10-minute show when everyone's still dial up. And
amazing.
Yeah, I can't imagine how easy it was to watch it. But you did a show almost every day, right?
That's right. It was called Patriots Cyber Sideline on Patriots.com. And you would click on it. And remember when you'd click on something and it wouldn't necessarily, the video wouldn't play and it'd be a little circle rolling
yes.
on your screen.
Yeah.
And that I learned a lot. So the Kraft family, owners of the Patriots, it was like their fourth or fifth year as owners of the team. And I remember them saying, Mark, they're like, the World Wide Web is going to change everything. It's how you consume media.
Yeah.
And we're going to be ahead of the curve here. Mm-hmm. And so my first assignment, 1997, a preseason game. Patriots at Packers, and they said at the end of the game, just get down on one knee and say something into the camera. We'll put it up on Patriots Cyber Sideline, and that's how it started. And look
wow.
where we are now.
That's incredible stuff. So you went from there to where?
So from 2 years with Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots.com, then I went to a small local newspaper covering Patriots but also high school sports because my dream was to go to the Boston Globe.
Yep.
Remember when we were at UMass, Boston Globe was like – that was the standard
was the
in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Would be like the Houston Chronicle in the heydays of newspapers.
Right.
Things have changed. You know, business has changed. Mm-hmm. And then ESPN in 2009 after the Boston Globe, and I've been there since.
So the Patriot Dynasty series
yes.
on Apple TV, what did you think of it? Because you lived through most of that. So what did you think of the way they portrayed everything?
So a lot of different thoughts. I think I loved the behind-the-scenes stuff. So like when you had Tom Brady as a rookie in the year 2000 in his condo that he bought from Ty Law with the old video camera footage, you know, where you see like the date and the time. I thought that was fantastic. Like, 'cause it brought back great memories. I think as the series went on for me, Mark, like, started to feel like there were some scores being settled and, you know, maybe, you know, Bill Belichick not necessarily treated the way I probably would have. I didn't think it was, like, the greatest for Bill Belichick.
Right.
And so it left me not feeling great by the time I finished it, having lived it. But then I thought to myself, it probably wasn't for me. I mean, I covered the thing for pretty much all that time. So they were probably looking to appeal to a wider audience and maybe felt like they needed to go in a certain direction to draw people in.
The 90s stuff was great, though. Kraft buying the team, buying up all the land around the stadium.
Yes.
Really fascinating stuff there.
It was. And so here's this season ticket holder who loved the Patriots with his family. And he always had a dream to buy the team. But the team had a complicated arrangement where playing at Foxborough Stadium, but the parking lots around the stadium were owned by someone else. And he had the foresight to say, wait a minute. If I buy the parking lots around the stadium, then, you know, I have some leverage to possibly buy the stadium, which he or some however it was, Mark, right? Like he ended up getting the stadium and the land around it. So then when the team tried to leave, they couldn't do it. So they basically had to sell it to him. That's a smart businessman right there.
Absolutely. Mike Reese, ESPN. All right, one more for you. Yeah. AFC East, Texans play the entire division. We'll be at Gillette this year. I've talked to some AFC East guys here, but how do you assess in a thumbnail or two on the rest of the teams, the rest of the division as you have this challenge ahead of you?
So Patriots obviously looking up, Mark, at the other three. I think the Jets will be intriguing because does Aaron Rodgers come back? And they're obviously going for it, right? They figure they got 1 year with some of those veteran additions. So I think they'll be the most intriguing team to me in the division. Miami, I'm curious to see what that looks like going forward. They've taken some hits. I feel like, and Buffalo, I think, has taken some hits, losing some players. So I think every team in the division is sort of like trying to recalibrate, find itself, and we might see the division take a step back as a result of it this year.
It'll be interesting. Your thoughts on the outside looking in on the Texans?
Just so exciting, you know. So obviously personally happy for Nick Caserio, having to, you know, gotten to know him when he was in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, been down there for Super Bowls.
Right.
And felt like the organization had and loved Bill O'Brien when he was there as a New England guy, but the organization has had, like, it's been like a roller coaster, right?
Yeah.
Like, been up, like, way down. And like, you got the quarterback. Yeah. You got the coach. You're on the way up.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. It's so, Mark, like, that's great. Like, that's any organization. That's what you want. You got it now, right? So enjoy it. That's my view from afar.
I love it. Thanks so much, Mike.
Right. Great to be with you.
There's Mike Reese from ESPN. Coming up, Hall of Fame talk with Jeff Joniak, kickoff rule talk, maybe some other stuff coming your way next on Texans All Access. All right, a final segment to the show tonight, and it's a good one because we have Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Chicago Bears, the Texans playing the Bears in the Hall of Fame game, and again in the regular season. So let's check in with Jeff. We need to talk, Jeff.
We do.
We need to talk because we're going to see a lot of each other. We've seen a lot of each other lately at the Combine and here at the NFL annual meeting, and now we're going to see each other
right.
Hall of Fame game,
right.
And it's a very festive event for both franchises.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was not a surprise for me to hear that whatsoever, given Devin Hester, Steve McMichael, the legendary Bears defensive tackle, and, of course, Julius Peppers with a chunk of his career with the Bears. So it's a three-headed monster headed into Canton. And, you know, McMichael's the one that folks probably don't discuss enough.
Yeah.
Because what he did is quite impressive, but overshadowed quite a bit by the names of Dan Hampton and Mike Singletary and Jimbo Covert and Walter Payton, of course, but McMichael deserved to be in the Hall of Fame a long while ago. An Iron Man in every sense of the word. Most games played in Bears history surpassed by long snapper Patrick Manley a few years back, but, you know, down in and down out, Ming never missed time on the field, and he sacked the quarterback from the interior defensive line position at a rate that probably gets overlooked.
I want to talk more about the Hall of Fame, but since you brought it up, that team, Jim McMahon, is he the greatest Bears quarterback ever considered that? I know you're about to draft one probably, but tell me.
I mean, Sid Luckman.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Jim is beloved, believe me. Led him to a Super Bowl, their only Super Bowl championship, obviously, and was a character of all characters and remains such and beloved by Bears fans. But if you're talking about, you know, Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, Sid Luckman.
Okay, gotcha. All right, have you done a Hall of Fame game recently? Have you been there for that experience? Because the first Texans game in history was the Hall of Fame game back in 2002. And I pointed out with the McNairs, hey, it's the only game John Madden ever did of the Houston Texans.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's good to have on tape.
Yeah, I looked it up. Melissa Stark was there too. Al Michaels called it. It was against the New York Giants. But what about the Bears? Do you have any memory of that? Have you been there for a Hall of Fame induction and things like that?
I've been there for – I was there for Singletary's induction.
Okay.
One of the most moving speeches of all time. I was there for Dan Hampton's. I was there for Brian Urlacher and a guest at his party. Brian and I had a great relationship, and that was meaningful for me and being in that group of guys because – like you are a soundtrack of the Houston Texans and their careers. I was a soundtrack for that team that went to a Super Bowl, and all those guys are still living in the Chicago area, Urlacher out in Arizona, but beloved figure. And so I've been quite a few times. And one of the first games that I had with just a two-man booth was a Hall of Fame game in Canton. And that was a funny game because I left my glasses –
oh boy.
In the press box at kickoff, and I'm like, where are my glasses? I almost got arrested by a state trooper because I was going to interview Lovie Smith for pregame, and the woman wouldn't let me in, said that I'm not allowed. I go, I have a pregame interview with the head coach, and she was ready to throw cuffs on me, and PR came in and said, hey, you're going to be okay. Let him in. He's got to interview the coach. So, yeah, all kind of weird things happen. But, yeah, love going. You know, I never get tired of walking through those halls. I mean, have you ever been there?
I've been there that year, but it's been a while. I mean, it's 22 years ago, right? So
right.
Jeff Joniak, voice of the Bears, joining us. So what can you tell the listeners right now, Texans fans, who want to make the journey to Canton?
Yeah, make the journey.
Okay.
Make the journey. It's all about ball. And the town does a great job of expressing itself in that. There's all sorts of activities. It's absolutely grown and mushroomed into something significant, obviously. Back in the day, the game would be played. And then, you know, after the induction. Now it's vice versa. So you got the game. We'll be on a Thursday, right?
Yep.
Thursday, August 1st. And then we play the Houston Texans, and then the induction, you know, you'll remain there and you'll have several days in Canton. But they do a great job from parades to activities, and they've really grown the whole campus there and continue to put in money into it to make it something special. And the hall is fantastic. It's a great great venue. If you love the game, you'll love walking through that place because it's certainly very, very impactful if you're a football fan.
All right, a couple more for you. Texans and Bears play in the regular season as well.
Right,
we don't know
which
when.
Which is rare now that we're doing a double
yeah,
dose.
Yep, it happens, though. And I think in that Hall of Fame game, we're not going to see too many of the starters
probably
play.
Probably not.
Yeah, but
probably
whoever you
not.
Might draft a quarterback, right. I'm wondering if we see him or not in that contest.
I don't know whoever that young quarterback might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have a young quarterback.
Well, yeah, the Justin Fields deal, did that surprise you, the way it went down, where it was, that kind of thing, the comp?
No, I mean, listen – from the jump, Ryan Poles and the front office said they were going to do right by Justin.
Yeah.
And so they did right by Justin, and it gives them a runway and a rookie contract, and the building can continue without being strapped with a big mega contract for a quarterback. And this is still a process, and they've been doing it the hard way, which is the right way, according to Ryan Poles, and I agree with him, but step by step, staircasing it. And They paved the way with the additions on offense. What else they're going to get in the draft? Defense is loading up. They were great at the end of the season, taking the ball away. So I think Bears fans are genuinely jacked up. I still think there's discussion among the fan base of who they should have kept and in terms of Justin or a rookie quarterback or having them both there. And but the fact is he gets a chance, and now we've flipped the page. And I frankly, it was such a hot-button topic and a focal point of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad it's been resolved in the way it's being resolved so that the Bears can now move forward and think about what's next and focusing on building a championship contender.
Being in the division, what do you think of the Texans' acquisition of Danielle Hunter at defensive end?
He's a bad man. Mm. He's a bad, bad, bad man. And if he stays healthy, he's going to wreak havoc, and especially now with Anderson on the other side and in your defense and your defensive-minded head coach, that's a perfect fit, perfect fit. Hellacious edge rusher. He hurt Justin last year, you know, coming off the edge. I think I did the math because I said, oh, you know, we haven't escaped Danielle Hunter yet. We got to play the Texans. But I think 7 sacks and 15 hurries against Bears quarterbacks when he's been healthy. So, yeah, He's legit. It should be an ideal fit for you guys.
What do you think of the rest of that Chicago schedule? Because you play the whole AFC South, obviously.
I don't have it memorized yet. You got it probably better memorized. Do you have it? You have it memorized?
Well, I know the opponents.
Yeah.
I can't give you the dates.
No,
I
know that. I don't even have the opponents.
I'm
just trying. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't have it memorized. But
when you have the number one pick, you're pretty preoccupied with that.
Right. Hey, listen, I don't look at schedules. I look week one, week whatever.
You're such
the case.
A coach.
I am because it's a fruitless task.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love prognosticating.
Yeah, not me. I don't like. You will never. Who's going to win Sunday? I'm not giving you a prediction.
Oh,
I'm not
never.
Giving you a
no.
score.
I don't
I'm
do
not,
that.
Yeah,
but
I'm not giving you wins and losses at the month of May. No.
I think about where the weather games.
Yeah,
where the restaurant reservations?
Now
that's way down the line.
Right,
but I
right.
just want to know. We're going to New England, going to Green Bay.
Yeah.
I want to know
those
when those games.
Those are great spots.
I saw Matt LaFleur the other day, and he said, "Yeah, I hope I see you in December." You know, he wants us up there in December, of
course.
Does. So we'll see how all that goes.
Oh yeah. So yeah, these are great spots, and of course AFC, NFC. You know, you don't get to these places very often.
Yeah.
It's every 8 years or whatever, right? So. It's a big deal when you get these special trips. And, you know, you'll love both of those venues and those fan bases as well as Chicago. So it's going to be a fun season no matter what. The intrigue surrounding, as you know, with a first-year quarterback, you're from the moment the OTA sessions begin until we get to the final whistle of the regular season and hopefully into the playoffs, the scrutiny and the analysis and the thought process and the decision-making and how it all comes together, Bears fans are going to be flocking to camp. They're going to be all dialed in. So it's another new young quarterback to lay their eyes on. It's going to be fun.
One more for you, Jeff Joniak, voice of the Bears. Kickoff rule, it's radical.
Love it.
You love it.
I don't even know all the details yet because I've been meeting with some coaches and stuff. But the basics, unless you can tell me what's been tweaked, it had to happen.
Yeah.
Tom Thayer and my broadcast partner, we were just railing every time there was a touchback.
Yeah.
Or, you know, let the ball bounce into the back of the end zone. No, it's a football play.
Yeah.
So we're reintroducing hopefully 1,600 plus plays, and their strategy. Now, Matt Eberflus, the Bears head coach, when asked today at the NFC coaches breakfast, you could see when you know you got ball coaches, they have this wry grin on their face because they know it's a football play.
It's a football.
So we're going to be designing some unique stuff.
Yep.
And I think the fans are going to. Hey, we got to get it. Like guys like Cordarrelle Patterson now can get signed because the kick returners on your teams are going to matter.
Absolutely.
And the type of players you put on the field is going to matter. And again, on the year that Devin Hester becomes the first return specialist to enter the hallowed halls of Canton, Ohio, this is big. This is big because it's an important play and it's an exciting play, and it can't be a Debbie Downer. It just cannot.
I agree with you. It's more football.
Yes.
One of the special teams coaches, I forget which one, that they brought out for the press conference said it's must-see TV now. You have
to
watch the kickoff. You don't know what's going to happen, and the ball will be in play because you don't want to produce a touchback to the 30. And they wanted it to be the 35.
Correct.
That's
an automatic first down.
Yeah, to really discourage the touchback. No. 35, you're one throw from field goal range with most good quarterbacks.
Now, let's put our analysis cap on as play-by-play guys. We leave that to our color guys typically, but – you know, are we looking at longer fields for offenses, or are we looking at what are we thinking here?
They want scoring. You're going to see average drive start, you know, it's right around the 25.
Yeah. Now you think it's going to bump up?
Oh, it's going to be the 30.
You
think? The 30, 35. Yes, average drive start, absolutely. They know what they're doing.
But the kickers, I wonder what they're thinking, because they got to be now really precise.
You want to put it right on the one. You do not – the kickoff zone – from the goal line to the 20, it's kind of complicated. But once you get the hang of it, you got to kick it at least to the 20. Otherwise, they get it at the 40, right?
I mean,
that's crazy.
You know, there's going to be miss hits. Guys are going to overthink it. There's going to be miss hits.
I know who's going to hate
it. The bouncing ball is going to be a major story. Because, hey, you can't control the bounce. You know.
Well, but you can't squib it because if it touches
down. I'm saying, though, even on the fly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Right. You got to catch that. I like the two returners. You can have up to two, and then they can, you know, they can fake the handoff,
they
fake
can
an
stack,
exchange, lateral.
Double reverses.
Oh, beautiful.
But listen, I think fans are going to dig it.
They are.
And I don't want to mess too much with the integrity of the game.
Yeah.
And I know this is all in the name of safety, but, and I get that. But, you know, hey, this is football, man. Things are going to happen. Yeah.
Jeff, it's always a pleasure.
Always
Thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
There's Jeff Joniak, voice of the Chicago Bears. Texans, Bears in the Hall of Fame game August 1st. Don't miss it. And then at some point in the regular season as well. We had Cal and Hannah McNair on earlier in the program. This will be up in podcast form soon enough, so check it out. And tomorrow night, another banger, a great show for you at 6 o'clock. Johnny and I talk about the new rules. Another Texans player guest. You'll have to find out who tomorrow. Area 45 coming up next. Have a great night. Go Texans.